shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And I just have a question for you to think about. Is God's Spirit with you? Is God's Spirit in you? Then let's tell others of His amazing power, of His saving grace, of His unconditional love, and His willingness to forgive. Even those sins that we think are too bad to be forgiven, God will forgive every sin confessed and repented of. Amen. person that you can share your faith with and that you can tell them about Jesus Christ's love for them and that you might be able to lead them to salvation in Jesus Christ. How glorious would that be? Let me just ask you, because I don't know yet, how many of you have ever had had an opportunity? We all have had an opportunity, but how many of you have taken advantage of an opportunity and led somebody to the Lord? Would you raise your hand? Well, there's a few of us here, and I want all of you to be able to do that. Every single one of us, whether they're your own and your family, or they're a neighbor, or they're a friend, or they're a co-worker, or whoever, I want you to have that opportunity to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Because when you do that, God is storing up a crown for you, and He wants to be able to present that to you when that day comes. Now, some of you have asked me, can I share with that one that I'm praying for them? And I think, absolutely. You know, you ought to let people know you're praying for them. I try to do that, and from what I found, that most people appreciate that. If they know I'm praying for them, they feel good about that. And that's the way it ought to be. And if you're praying for me, I'm thankful. And for those of you who told me, I am very thankful, you know, that you remember me and keep me in your prayers. If you've contacted your one and found out that they are a Christian, great. If they're not going to church, encourage them to come to Trinity Missionary Baptist Church. And if they're a Christian and they are going to church, then come up with another one. Let's try that. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep praying. Keep sharing. Keep witnessing. And just because they don't want you to pray for them, if they tell you no, pray into martyrdom. But do it all with compassion and demonstrating Jesus' love for them. Remind them that you're only doing that because you want the best for them. And there's nothing better than what heaven has to offer. Now I want to share a story about a prodigal daughter. True story. Philip Yancey used it in What's So Amazing About Grace. He tells the story of this girl who grows up in Traverse City, Michigan. She's disgusted with her old-fashioned parents who overreact to her nose ring, the music she listens to, the length of her skirts, and so she decides, I'm done, I'm running away. She ends up in Detroit, where she meets a man who drives the biggest car she's ever seen before. The man with the big car, she calls him Boss, recognizes she's underage and that men would pay premium for her. She goes to work for him. Things are good for a while, life is good, but she gets sick for a few days, and it amazes her how quickly the boss turns mean towards her. Before she knows it, she's out on the street without a penny to her name. She still turns a couple tricks a night, and all the money goes to support her drug habit. One night while sleeping on the metal grates of the city, she began to feel less like a woman of the world and more like a little girl. She begins to whimper. God, why did I leave? My dog back home eats better than what I'm doing now. She knows that more than anything in the world, she just wants to go home. Three straight calls home get three straight connections with the voicemail. Finally, she leaves a message. Mom, Dad, it's me. I was wondering about maybe coming home. I'm catching a bus up your way, and it'll get there about midnight tomorrow. If you're not there, I'll understand. During that 7-hour bus ride, she's practicing a speech for her daddy. And when the bus comes to a stop at Traverse City Station, the driver announces the 15-minute stop. 15 minutes to decide the rest of her life. She walks into the terminal not knowing what to expect. But not one of the thousand scenes she imagined prepared her for what she was about to see. There in the bus terminal at Traverse City, Michigan, stands a group of 40 brothers, sisters, aunts and uncles, cousins, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother to boot. place where everybody is somebody. And do you know why that's true? It's because of God's love for everyone. God loves me, He loves you, He loves all of us. And I've heard it and I've seen it. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the idea of missions without realizing our personal role of Jesus' disciples and what He has commanded us to do. For example, many love sports. They sit on the sidelines and they pull for their favorite team, but never step a foot on the playing field to contribute themselves. They are great cheerleaders, but not actually contributors. Sadly, the same can be said about the church, where a lot of people just watch and listen, but don't get involved. I don't see that much here in Trinity, but I know what goes on. If you have your Bibles and you're able to, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. And I'm sure a familiar story. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And they could not find how they might bring him in. Because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down on his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to them, or said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easy to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, they glorified God, and were filled here, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Father God, we thank you so much for the example that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for the word as it's written. And I pray, God, that you would give us understanding, that you would give us discernment, Father, that you would help us to be able to apply these truths to our life, that we might better serve you and be an instrument for others to come to a saving knowledge of who Jesus is. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I'm sure this scriptural account is very familiar to you. But for the next few moments, I want to share with you how this story is applicable to us, how we can apply these precepts to what we're doing and what we're striving to do in being obedient to Jesus' great commission. And this is the first thing I want you to see. These men had a mission. They had a job to do. They had a dream. They had a vision. This is what they wanted to accomplish. Having a mission, being on mission, drives us. It drives us as individuals, and it drives us as a culture. We develop mission statements for our companies to help stay on course so we don't veer off of where we need to go. It's very easy to chase a rabbit, but we need to stay on course doing what God has called us to do. And corporations and businesses all around our world do the same thing. Instagram, for those of you who like social media, their mission statement is this: to capture and share the world's moments. And that's what people do. They capture their moments in time, and they share it with all their friends and loved ones and others who might just be following them. Uber. You've heard of Uber. Their mission statement is transportation as reliable as running water everywhere for everyone. No matter, even here in Goldsboro, you can call up an Uber and get a ride someplace. Microsoft. Our mission is to empower every individual and every organization on the earth to accomplish more. That used to be a saying in the Air Force. Maybe you remember that, Richard, or Parker, or whoever else was in the Air Force. Doing more with less, huh? Google, to organize the world's information and make it universally acceptable and useful. Now, how many of you used Google this morning? Several have already. Yeah. That's their mission. The Red Cross. The American Red Cross prevents and alleviates human suffering in the face of emergencies by mobilizing the power of volunteers and the generosity of donors. And they do a really good job at that. Now, these are just some of the organizations, but let mission. And he chooses to use you and me to share that with others. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I was one of them. And you were one of them. He has come for us. And as Christians, he's given us our mission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our mission. And if you need to practice, I'm sure you got a tree in your backyard. Practice on the tree. Practice on the squirrel. So when it comes to the real person, you're ready to share with them. You laugh, you smile, but you try. Billy Graham did that for a long time. That's why he was so great at what he was doing. When he was a young man, he would go in the woods, and he would practice preaching to whatever was listening to him out there. And then when he got in front of thousands of people, it became easy. These men were on mission. Their friend was hurting and possibly dying. And they cared for this one. They loved this man. They loved their friend. And they knew where to take him. If you've got a problem, I know the one can solve it for you. No matter what that problem might be. I don't care if it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. Jesus controls all those realms. Don't we have the same? Don't we know people that are hurting? People that are close to us? People that are near to us? People that we care for? Don't we know people that are dying? Don't we have friends who we love? Well, I'm sure we can think of some friends whom Jesus did help. And maybe family. Church, what drives you? Put it another way, what spiritual things has God put on your heart that you long to see come to fruition in your lifetime? Talk about this in Sunday school. Kevin said, one of the things I hope for is that all my family gets saved, spends eternity in heaven. That's a great hope. That's a great want. I hope all my family does the same thing. Do you do yours? What about your neighbors? What about the people on your teams? What about the people we work with? Do you have kingdom dreams, such as your one coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Or are your dreams tied to this life? Just busy about doing things for yourself? Just busy about making ends meet? Just busy about putting food on the table? Do we have a grander idea of what needs to be done? Are you working to achieve those dreams? These men that Luke wrote about were on a mission. Secondly, these men had an eager expectation. I mean, just picture this, if you will. They show up, there's a crowd around because Jesus is there. They've heard about his healings. They've heard about all these wonderful things that he's done. They've heard about the feedings. And they want to come and see him. And so they gather their friend who hasn't taken a step in I don't know how long. He can't even get out of the bed. So they carry the bed with them. They see the crowd. They can't get through the door. There's no way they can get around this crowd. So what they do, they go around back. They go upstairs on top of the house. Then they start pulling tile away. And if you saw The Chosen, or if you saw any of those movies that portray this, you can see some of the things falling down. Because I tell you, if you started pulling my ceiling off, things would start falling down. And they look up and there's this willing to risk whatever it took to get him to Jesus? Are we willing to risk whatever it takes to share Jesus with a loved one, family member, or friend? Do we have an eager expectation of what Jesus can do through us, with us, working together? And does that expectation bring along action in our lives? Does that make us do something? Does that move us to be obedient to God? I remember years ago, a friend of mine and I, we went to the NCO Academy in Florida. And we were going to be roommates. John is his name. He's still alive. He's still around. And you can tell him, and he'll tell you this is the absolute truth. He came from a Catholic background, and I came obviously from a Baptist background. And I thought, he's going to be my roommate. We're going to be there for 8 weeks. I'm going to be able to witness to him, and by the time we leave, that man is going to get saved. Anyway, these men were on a mission. They expected great things. Thirdly, these men encountered an obstacle. I mean, does that surprise you? Anytime we try to do what God wants us to do, there are going to be obstacles before us because the enemy doesn't want us to do those things. And if you're having no problem with the enemy, that means you're not doing anything for God. But if you're doing something for God, expect the obstacles. Our enemy is quite content for us to say that we're Christian and do nothing about it. But as we've learned these past few weeks, we can tell a person is a Christian because of the way they behave, of the things they say, the things that they do, just as Jesus did, and Jesus still does. Now, in Luke's story, we're told of a crowd, and there seemed to be no way for these men to get their friend to Jesus. There's no way they could get through. At this point, many would just give up. Well, I didn't have a moment. We only have 2 minutes. I only have time to share Jesus with them. You know, so we quit, and we go on. They were thinking, or they could have been thinking, you know, there's no way in. We might as well just go back and try another day. We assume that the door that God wants us to take through follows the path of least resistance. But that's not true. That's not scriptural. Imagine if Paul only walked through those doors that were open. Half the New Testament would never have been written. Imagine if Daniel closed his windows to pray. Neither the king nor others would see God's great and awesome power in delivering Daniel from the lions. Imagine if Nehemiah and Ezra quit at the first sign of trouble in trying to rebuild the temple and rebuild those walls around Jerusalem. It never would have happened. Imagine if we quit praying and sharing Jesus with that one that God has laid on our heart. If we quit, they may never come to a saving knowledge of who Jesus is. And that would lie on us. Are there any obstacles in your way from being Jesus' disciple? is here is at the very heart of what